Matthew 26. Verse 17, we're going to come back to it in a minute. But in Luke's account of the Lord's Supper, he says, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. And most of us in this house tonight, we know the facts of history pertaining to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Some in this place may not be aware of what all the Lord did, but tonight I'd like to take just a few moments to give an overview, a go back and remember what happened, and we're going to receive the Lord's Supper together in just a few moments. But it all began at that Passover meal, when Jesus and his 12 were there, and he began to talk and he began to tell them how the things that he would suffer, and that one of them was going to betray him. Of course, all of the disciples began to wonder, is it me? Is it me? Is it me? He left supper and he went out to the Garden of Gethsemane. There he told his disciples to pray, lest you enter into temptation. And he went a little farther and he began to pray. And I enjoyed Sunday morning Brother Marvin's explanation of how the sweat could actually be blood from a medical standpoint. And Jesus, he so groaned and was so burdened and was so labored by what lay ahead of him that the Bible says that his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And he goes to his disciples and he finds them sleeping. Kind of sounds like present day church. He went to his disciples and he found them sleeping, and he awoke them and he said, pray, lest you enter into... He didn't say pray that you're not tempted. He said, pray that you don't enter into the temptation. You see, what prepares you to withstand temptation is the preparation in the presence of the Lord. He goes back to pray some more, and an angel of the Lord comes and ministers to him, strengthens him. And he comes and to the place, those famous words that he said, not my will but thine be done. You see, Jesus fully knew what lay ahead. He knew the shame. He knew the pain. He knew all that was coming. But he reached that place, and it's not what I want, because he said, if there's any other way, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. And so he immediately leaves there and goes back to join his disciples. And he sees Judas coming with a crowd of people. My heart breaks right here. A friend. A hand-picked friend that had walked with him and had seen him do the miraculous, had heard his teachings, had watched the eyes of the blind open and the ears of the deaf to hear. All for the love of money. For 30 pieces of silver. Betrayed a friend. Jesus saw him coming. And he says, you're going to betray me with a kiss? Nevertheless, go ahead. This is the hour of darkness. Immediately, one of the disciples drew his sword, cut off one of the ears of one of the soldiers. Jesus said, put up your sword. He healed that soldier's ear. He was led away with them. He was arrested at that point and he was led away with them. The disciples following from afar off. One time Peter denies. Two times Peter denies. Three times Peter denies, only to hear that. Not a word was said, but Jesus, as you read the story, Jesus looked at Peter. Enough was said in the eyes. It says Peter went out and he wept bitterly. Repented. There's a sermon in itself, because that same Peter that had just denied him three times, 50 days later will stand before the same Sanhedrin court that had plotted and carried out the crucifixion of Jesus, and he stood there in front of them and he preached Jesus to them. That's another sermon. We see Jesus led on into the courtyard. We see him blindfolded. We see him punched. We see him spat upon. We see a crown of thorns, or thorns platted into a crown, and they placed it onto the Lord's head, and then they took a reed, a stick, and they drove it into his scalp until blood ran down his face. Blindfolded and punched, bloody mouth, swollen lip. They're saying, "Prophesy unto us, Jesus of Nazareth. Tell us who it is that struck you." Doesn't end there. The disciples scattered. Friday morning rolls around. Kangaroo court. Mock trial. He was despised. He was rejected. He was flogged. He was beaten. His back was emaciated and ripped open, and blood falling to the ground. And Isaiah had prophesied that by his stripes we're healed and made well and made whole. He took that beating for you and for me. I'm thankful for doctors, and I'm thankful for medicine, and I'm thankful for technology, and I'm thankful for all that they can do. But I'm telling you, Jesus, the great physician, paid a price that exceeds and trumps everything. And when the doctors have given up on you, there's hope in Jesus. There's healing in Jesus. There's health in Jesus. Look to Him, the author and the finisher of your faith. Then He's crucified. Darkness falls across the earth. Even the soldier at the foot of the cross recognizes, and he says, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And he died. Dead. Graveyard dead. He is dead. Can you imagine how the disciples must have felt? He's the one that they had put all of their trust and confidence in. He is the one that they had forsook everything to go with Him. Now He hangs here dead. Joseph of Arimathea goes and begs for the body of Jesus, and that's granted to him. He takes him and buries him in his own tomb. The leaders are afraid that the people will steal the body, so they have a rock rolled across it, and they seal it and place guards outside of the tomb. But that's not the end of the story. You're going to have to come back Sunday morning to hear the rest of the story. And I chose to do it this way because I want each of us to not minimize or trivialize the reality of His death, of His suffering, of the beatings. No lonelier feeling than when all of his friends, even to the point that he says, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" I learned something from Brother Marvin's sermon. Sunday morning, he was preaching on the cup that Jesus hated. And in the Old Testament times, the Jewish people, they understood the cup. They knew that it represented God's judgment. And you see, Jesus really didn't want to drink that cup of judgment. That's why he cried, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" He took the judgment of sin for you and for me. Chew on that. This is not myth. This is not fable. This is reality. You see, he was the lamb slain before the foundations of the world. But what drove him to that cross was his love for you and for me. You've received the elements. If you would, go ahead and open them up. There's a little bit of wafer in the top. There's a, I don't know whether it's punch or wine or whiskey or what under there, but yes, sir. Thank you, Skeeter. Verse 17, Matthew 26. This is where it all started that night. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover meal?" And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say unto him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. And when evening had come, he sat down with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me.' And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, 'Lord, is it I?' He answered and he said, 'He who has dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born.' Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, 'Rabbi, is it I?' And he said to him, 'You have said it.' And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." You see, we don't ever want communion, the Lord's Supper, the sacraments, however you want to word it. We don't want that to ever become a religious experience or exercise. We want to keep the significance of the meaning of what this represents to each and every one of us. We've got to realize that it's a time of remembrance. We've talked about what the Lord has done. We need to never forget what our salvation cost Him. It's a time of anticipation and expectation that one day at the marriage supper of the Lamb, one day, Jesus Himself is going to serve us. We'll see those scars in His hands. But He Himself will administer the elements to us. Then it's a time of praise and victory. His victory over death, hell, and the grave. It's a time of celebration of our own victories through salvation, that we've overcome death, hell, and the grave. It's a time of celebrating the answered prayers that we've had. Many, many, many of them over the course of time. It's a time of remembering and praising Him for those things. It's also a time of self-examination. You should never partake of the elements without first examining yourself. You see, we each should be our own judges. We know our hearts. We know our lives. We know where we stand. Thus, it should also be a time of repentance. Before you partake tonight, I want you to, if necessary, to repent for sins of commission or sins of omission. The greatest sin in the church today are sins of omission, things that we know clearly God has told us to do that we just don't do. We need to repent. It's also a time of commitment, making a fresh commitment to the Lord, to yourself, reaffirming. So tonight, would you take the bread? Where He said, "This is My body, which was broken for you." And we're not just eating this wafer. In that body was healing. Tonight, as you eat, thank Him for your healing, emotionally, physically, spiritually. Then the cup. Oh, the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood that washes white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. So let us drink, remembering that this is the blood of the new covenant. Let us drink. Maybe you're here tonight. You just bow your head for a moment. You'd say, "Dennis."